Morning, everybody. Hey, wasn't it fantastic last week? If you were able to be down there, they'd tell me there was something like 250 people there. So we had a party, didn't we? The theme we're working through is the God who speaks. So I've only got a small job this morning. My title is the God who speaks in the Torah and the law of Moses. The Torah is the Old Testament. So all I've got to do is get through the Old Testament this morning. Is that all right? Can I tell you, because there are some people here who only asked Jesus into their lives around about weeks ago, you see. And there's some people like me who did it this summer. It will be my 60th Christian birthday. So we're all at different stages, aren't we? But this book is the book. Above all books, you need to come to grips with this book. It's divided into two bits. This one somebody bought me. It's quite good. It's cheats. Two-thirds of it is the Bible, and at the bottom, it gives an explanation, which is kind of helpful if you find some difficult words, isn't it, really? Now, so the New Testament, we know better, probably, and the first five books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that's four. You're good, just one second. The first four, they tell us the history about Jesus, what he did, what he said. Then Acts is when the Holy Spirit came and how the church was born, what it did, what people did, what the church started. Now, if you understand the first five books, it's the key to understanding the rest. So, if you're ever getting bored in your faith, read the book. Read the book. Now, do I get this across? Yes. Read the book. Now, how many of you read books? Well, occasionally, I used to like reading autobiographies. I've got to tell you, when I read an autobiography, Wigglesworth, have you ever read him? Yes. Whoa. Documented history of miracles. Incredible bloke. He's a bit of a scary bloke, but fantastic. Now, I've got to tell you, when I read an autobiography or I read a book, I don't read the first page on Monday, second page on Tuesday, third page on Wednesday. No. I kind of read it. Yes. Isn't it funny when it comes to the Bible? We kind of read six verses, maybe 12 verses, maybe a whole chapter in one day. You see, the book, you've got to get to the book. Now, in the Old Testament, which the Jews called the Torah, that's also got five books. It's got a load of books, actually. But the first five books, Genesis, which means beginnings, and Steve 2 weeks ago talked about God speaking through creation. The next one, well done. What does Exodus mean? Come on, scholars. It means exit. Then the next one, Leviticus, well, that's all the laws and religious stuff that went on. Numbers, it's worth reading because that tells you about the journeying. And Deuteronomy, that kind of is some sermons that Moses preached before he died. Right, so we go back to Genesis. Are you still with me? You've got to stay with me. Because you go back to Genesis, because you've got the creation of the world, got creation of man, creation of nations, and then you've got this fella called Abraham. Now, check that I'm right. Abraham had a son called Isaac. Isaac had a son, there was a few others, but Isaac had a son called Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. And at the time, these 12 sons, now I'm being short because I've got to get through the whole book. There was a famine. That means they were hungry. Now, that means they were really, really hungry. It means like they had nothing. So they left a land which God had promised them, Israel, and they went down to Egypt. And when they went down to Egypt, there were 72 of them and some servants. Right, now, go on 400 years. You see, when they first went there, everybody thought they had a business. These are the people. They're great people. But over the 400 years, they forgot that. And these 72 people became probably somewhere around about 2 or 3 million. So if you can just imagine, who's been to Birmingham? Birmingham? Now, if you emptied everybody out of Birmingham, there's still not enough people. So it gives you the picture of how many there were. And they were terribly treated. Bad time. They were put to... the law went out from Pharaoh. He said, I don't like the way this people produces babies, especially men babies. So this is what you do. If you see a man baby of these Jews, grab its foot and chuck it in the river. Now, because there's a lot of wickedness in this world, isn't there, at times? Now, there was one mum who had a little baby and she wouldn't do that. So she hid the baby and she put it in a basket. And then that's right. This is brilliant. Then the basket was put in the water and floated. Who found the basket? No? A princess. Pharaoh's daughter found the basket. Now, who was watching then?
God.
The sister. And so the sister ran up to the princess and said, look, would you like me to get somebody to look after the baby for you? And the princess said, oh, that's a good idea. So I don't know if she knew, but she went and got the mum. And the princess said, look, you look after Moses, or look up, because that means it's to do with him being found in the bulrushes. That's why he got his name. You look after him, and then when he's grown up a bit, I'll have him back and he'll be a prince. So that's how Moses started. Now, I reckon during that time, Moses' mum would have told him all about the past, all about the history of the Jewish people. Let me quickly read to you from Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says this. By faith, Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than own the treasures of Egypt. It was by faith Moses left Egypt. It was by faith Moses... Well, it's a lot of stuff I've got to get through, isn't it, you see? So, what happened? Moses is now 40. So, I reckon he knows all about the Jews because his mum's taught him. You see, you have to read into it. And then he grows up as a prince. That means he will be good at fighting. He would have been a captain in the army. This man wasn't a softie. Now, at 40, us men sometimes go for a thing called a midlife crisis, don't we? I remember at 40 thinking, what on earth is going on? Am I wasting my life? Well, anyhow, it was at 40 Moses decided, because he says he wanted to go and look at his people. I reckon he had a relationship with God. So off he goes, because he thinks that he's got to somehow do something for this group of people. So he sees a guard beating up one of these Hebrews. So he steps in, out comes the sword, oof, end of the guard. It's a bit of soft dirt over here, quick, scrape it over, chuck him in, bury it, job done. Now, he knows now, he's cracked it, you see, because he's found a way into the tribe of the Hebrews, because they're going to think he's the business. He's going to be the man. So he goes back the next day. This is what I think, anyhow. I'm in. And he sees two of them fighting. So he says, stop fighting. And they said, why? Will you kill us like you did that guard yesterday? He realized it wasn't working. I want to tell you, you see, as we follow Jesus, we've got to be listening to what he wants us to do. And it really is right for us to come to him. Now, there is a saying that he that never made a mistake never made nothing. So God wants us to be pushing the boundaries, to be seeking to do things for him. Anyhow, Moses goes on the run, finds some woman who's been a bit picked on by some others, rescues her, marries her, and then lives for 48 years. And he thinks, this is my pension. Looking after the sheep, I've cracked it now. So he figured 80 is time for retirement. And then one day, he sees this bush. And on Friday, we went and had a big bonfire, didn't we, Friday night? They do a great bonfire there, and John knows. Anyhow, he sees this bush that's burning. Now, have you ever watched leaves when they burn? They all go crinkly. As he watched, the leaves stay green. So he thought, I better just go and have a closer look. So he gets a bit closer, and as he gets there, God says to him, whoa, take your shoes off. I'm not going to do it, you're all right. Take your shoes off, this place is holy. Now, God says, listen, I've got some good news for you, Moses. The good news is this, I have heard the cry of my people in Egypt. And I am going to set them free. I can almost imagine Moses getting excited. I wanted to do that years ago. And then God says, even better news, I'm going to send you. So if you're ticking around about 80, watch out. You never know what God's going to do. So Moses says, well, if I go, who shall I say sent me? So God said, tell them I am sent you. And he said, well, they won't believe me. So God said to Moses, do you like my stick? Yep. Picked it up when I was prayer walking in Europe. So God said to him, he said, see the stick in your hand, throw it in the ground, and it would turn into a beard and a snake. You can see I'm not Moses. Anyhow, so he said to Moses, pick the snake up, and he went back into being a stick. Then he said to Moses, stick your hand inside your shirt. Put his hand inside his shirt, took it out covered with leprosy. So put it back in, gone. So God said, you show them that and they'll believe. He said, I'm no good. He said, I'm useless with words. God said, look, I'm the one that give voices. So Moses made this really interesting plea. He said, God, I understand. Send someone else. Don't we do that sometimes? I want to follow you, Jesus, but at this moment it's a bit tough. Can't you get somebody else to do it? And God said, no. So he said, look, he said, you've got a brother. You haven't seen him for a few years. He's going to meet you on the mountain. And what we'll do is I'll talk to you. You'll talk to your brother and he can talk to Pharaoh. Right, so off they go. He turns up with his stick. And he says to Pharaoh, God says, let his people go. Otherwise, you're going to have a bad time. So what did Moses do? He got his stick and threw it on the ground. As you see, I'm not Moses. But it turned into a snake. So Pharaoh got up his magicians. Thank you very much. And they said, look at us, Pharaoh. And they got their sticks and threw them on the ground. And they became snakes as well. Guess what Aaron, Moses' stick did? It went and ate the other ones up. Now, I want to tell you this. Please note, that really happened. There are dark arts about. Witchcraft is not a game. It is real. Whatever you do, do not mess with it. So, then he sends some plagues. Come on, you scholars. Hang on, where's the pen, dear? I've got to tick them off. Hang on, who said frogs? Brownie points. Come on, you can come and tick them off. Here we are, I've made a list of them. Yeah, but don't nick me book, I might need it. Keep going, turn it over. No, turn it over. Keep going. There we are. Hang on, we've got frogs. Darkness, locust. Keep going, that's three, there's 10 of them. Sorry? Boils, hailstones. Lice over here, sorry. Sorry, Paul. Sea of blood, that's it, yeah. Very good. How are we doing, dear? Boils. What blood? It's at the beginning. What do you mean it's on another page? I've got this all cool worked out, you see. Did anyone say flies? Flies, yeah. Leon just said flies. Anybody, anything else? Gnats. Oh, Leon said gnats. We've had darkness. What else we got? Death of the firstborn. Oh, no, we didn't have that one. Livestock. Well done, Leon. I think we've got it. Anyhow, the gist is this. He said to him, if you don't let them go, the water's going to turn to blood. And the Pharaoh ignored it. Then he said to him, if you don't let it go, there's going to be a plague of frogs. Now, I like that. Yeah, ribbit, ribbit. Let's all go ribbit, 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 ribbit. Now just imagine going to bed and ribbit, 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 going to the bathroom, ribbit, ribbit. Anyhow, I know it's weird, but the magicians could do the same. Can I get that urgency? There is witchcraft around, and you know, Ouija boards and spiritual stuff. Please have nothing to do with it. If you have, then come and see one of the leaders. We'll pray for you, because it'll mess your life up. This is real stuff. This really happened. Then the flies came, and God said, this one's going to be different. He said, I'm going to draw a separation. So the flies are only going to come where the Egyptians are. And then from then on, for the rest of the plagues, the other seven plagues, they didn't affect the children of Israel. Then, moving on, after the last plague, which was terrible, they said, get out. So off they go, and they're heading for the Red Sea. Now listen, Moses understands this. If they do come out, 6 weeks, and they'll be in the promised land. That's good, isn't it? 6 weeks, that's all he's just got to lead this motley crew. 6 weeks and they'll be in the promised land. So off they go, they get to the Red Sea, and they had this pillar of fire, which at night time led them. And in the daytime, there was a pillar of cloud. So they knew exactly where to go. All they had to do was follow the cloud. Now this actually was the Holy Spirit. It's kind of picture language for us. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. So they're following this cloud. And they get to a river that they can't cross. And you'll find out what Moses put up with for quite a long time then. All the people began to moan. They said, you brought us here and now we're going to die. So God said, and Moses began to plead with God. And God said to Moses, stop it. I'm going to tell you what to do. So the pillar of fire that was in front of them whizzed round behind them. So it all went dark for the Egyptians. And God said, put your stick across the water. And you know, the waters parted. The Jews went across. And then when the cloud came in front of them again, the Egyptians saw them going in, thought they'd join in. The water rolled back. There's some tough stuff in this world we live, isn't there? They get to the other side and they are all ecstatic. They're really excited. And then they come to this place where they can get some water, but the water's bitter. So what do? Moan. Moan, oh, why didn't you leave us back there? So God speaks to, Moses speaks to God and he says they're moaning again. So God says, well, there's a bit of wood there. Throw it into the water and it become pure. Now, do I see any symbolism in the bits of wood? The answer is, no, not really. The secret is listening to what God is saying. That's the answer to our life. Listen to what God is saying. Listen, when I was a mechanic, I believe God wanted me to be a mechanic. I thought I was going to be a missionary. That didn't work out. That's not the way he wanted me to go. And the different jobs that I moved into, I did it. I prayed first. So whatever your work experience, and the same, I only came to Evesham, love it, because I felt that's what God was saying to do. That means occasionally it might have been difficult here. But if God sent me here, I can say, look, you sent me. This is a bit tough, but you've got to sort it out. You've got to know what God is saying. So they move on from there, and then they start complaining because they've got nothing to eat. Who knows what manna is? Anybody know what manna is?
It's like bread.
Yeah, flakes. And do you know what the word manna means?
What is it?
So they used to go in the morning and go, what is it? So they collected it. So that's how they got fed. Then they went a bit further and they ran out of water again. So what did they do? You're getting the drift, eh? Moaned. And let's say there was 2 million people. Just imagine everybody from Birmingham has come to visit us. Is that okay? Everybody from Birmingham's come to visit?
Yeah.
But you see, they've all got problems. So what Moses did was sat on a chair and all day long, I didn't trip over the stick, all day long, he dealt with their problems. They tell him about this and they tell him about... Anyhow, his father-in-law turns up, Jethro, and he says, what on earth are you doing? You can't possibly look after all these people. I'll tell you what it shows you about his heart. Moses was a man who cared, and he did his best. But we need others to support us and input. So Jethro said, now what you need to do is find some godly people who you can appoint over thousands, over hundreds, and over fifties. And that is the way the nation of Israel began to be governed. They put the governance in there then. Anyhow, they go a bit further, and they come to this mountain. Now, this mountain is barren. Anybody know what the mountain's called? Thank you very much. I'd forgotten. The Mount Sinai, it is a massive mountain, but it's barren. And Moses went up there, and there was a cloud on the top, and there was fire. And all of those 2 million people were terrified. They said to Moses, you go and talk to God, but we'll stay here. So Moses said, okay. He took Joshua with him, and he goes up the mountain and is there for 40 days. How many weeks is that? Come on, 40 days, how many weeks is it? 5 weeks. So he's up there, he has a great talk with God. God gives him the Ten Commandments. And what do the people downstairs do? Moan. They said, where is he? Well, let's build a golden calf. And we'll celebrate this calf, so this calf brought us out. So anyhow, you're getting the story. How far are we doing? Are we doing all right over here? Yeah, we're doing okay.
Yeah, we're 7, 1, 4, 2, 8, 5, 7, 1 weeks.
Thank you very much. Yeah, well, see, we've got to get this worked out. Anyhow, he comes down. Joshua hears all this excitement, and he says to Moses, that they're praising God. And Moses said, no, they're not. And they came down the mountain. And we just have to be on our guard. You know, when God's moving, we just have to be careful, because Satan hates us. And he will do anything to get us to stumble. And when Moses wasn't around to lead this group of people, previously been slaves, they just kind of went their own way. Anyhow, Moses goes back up the mountain and gets another 10, list of 10 commandments. While he's up there, listen, this is what I love. He's saying to God, he says, if you don't lead us, we ain't going to go anywhere. God says, I will lead you. And then Moses said this, show us your glory. That means show us, give me a revelation of yourself. Let me see your presence. I love the presence of God. There's nothing like it when we worship. That what you sensed early on in the meeting, the presence of God. And Moses cried out for the presence, and God said, I can't let you see me, because otherwise you'll drop dead. But what I'll do is you get in that cave and I'll protect you. And when he passed by, he revealed himself, the God of love, the God of mercy. You see, the revelation of God comes out through his heart of love towards us. Remember, Moses comes down the mountain. 6 weeks, that's all they had to do, 6 weeks into the promised land. I reckon 6 weeks is getting along. Maybe 5 weeks are gone. So maybe four. So what he says, later on he tells us it was their idea. He said, what we'll do is we'll send out 12 spies. You go into the promised land, and when you get in the promised land, you suss it out, see what's good, what's where the best place is. So the 12 spies come back. They said, the place where we're going to live is phenomenal. They brought back a bunch of grapes, and it was on a pole. The grapes were so big they couldn't carry them on their own. They said, it's wonderful. We've seen, we've examined everywhere. The fields are fantastic, fertile land. Then they're going to say, but there's giants. But there's giants. And they began to tell the people. And the people began to say, let's kill that Moses and let's go back to Egypt. And there's two of them that didn't, Joshua and Caleb. They said, no, listen. Moses went to God. In the morning, he spoke to him again. He said, look, God has said, okay, you won't go into the promised land now. They said, oh, we changed our mind. We're going to listen to God now. So they armed themselves up, because it was a battle to be fought. Remember, it was only going to be 6 weeks, and they're in the promised land. They go up and fight this army, and they're beaten terribly. They come back. And Moses said, listen, this is what God said. Because you wouldn't believe him, you're going to not take 6 weeks to get in the promised land, but 40 years. And when you said, our children will be hurt, I'm going to show you your children will be the ones that make it. But anybody over 20, you ain't going to make it. You didn't trust me. It's really important, you know. Our God is able. Now Moses was a man, it's described as the most humble man ever. One day, his sister started to say, why are you the leader? What's so special about you? I could do your job. We have to be careful what we say about people, because God wasn't very happy about it. And actually, Miriam suddenly became seriously ill. She pleaded with Moses. And it says that Moses was the most humble man ever. And Moses prayed for her. And out of our UCB notes was this, India. This is a definition of humble that we need to think about. Truly humble people don't take offense easy or fight back. They turn the other cheek, and that their humility is not cowardice. Get that? Their humility is not cowardice. For true humility requires courage. It makes you willing to take a lower place than you deserve. We're called to be humble. That means that other people aren't going to be nice with us. And we need to exercise grace. God will give us it. But there's something of choice that comes into our life. As we choose to follow him, he will help us. And as it said of Moses, he was the most humble man that there ever was. They're getting nearer to the promised land now. And his sister dies. It's a bit sad. And during that time, there's no water. So what do the people do? They complain. So he goes to God, and God said to him, listen, this is what you've got to do. Go in front of the people with your rod and tell the water to come out of the rock. And Moses is wound up. You should never speak when you're cross. If you're cross, we were looking at it on Thursday, we all get angry. But it says, be angry and don't sin. Just sit on it. Let it work for a bit. He went and did what God sort of told him, got to the place where then he got his stick, and he sort of said, oh, you lot, do I have to even produce water out of the rock? Hit the rock, water came out. And God said to him, listen, you've taken my glory. I said I would do it, and you took it to yourself. You see, the things that God calls us to do, we got to give him back the glory. There are consequences. God said, because you took my glory, then you're not going to go in the promised land. And some while later, Moses prays for Joshua, gets him ready to take over. And he goes up and he looks over the land. God said, you can have a look, but you're not going to go in. You see, this God we serve is a fantastic God. But please understand, listen to me. In my younger years, I first asked Jesus to come into my life, and then I disobeyed him. I knew it. I was, 13, 14? And I wandered around in a kind of wilderness, struggled. And then I come up with this bit, and it's all different for us, about would I obey him? For me, it was on, at the time, motorbikes. And I said, should I have that one? And I knew he said no, so I went and bought it. I used to say to people, I'm that sort of stubborn sort of person that God has to break. Listen, because he loves me, he did. I don't want to be stubborn. I've for years started to say, God, I don't want to be stubborn with you, Lord. I want the best because you want the best for me. I want to go your way. We know this, and you'll read it when you read through the Gospels. There was a time when Jesus went up to a mountain. And there, he had two visitors. What were their names? Elijah and Moses. So though Moses didn't go into the promised land then, he had a peep later. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask you that you will help us to listen to you and help us to learn from your word and from Moses, the way that he loved you, put you first. Now, it's possible that maybe somebody here has never asked Jesus into their life. That's the step that I took when I was 12. That's the step just about most people in this church have done. They, seeing that Jesus died on the cross for them, asked him to forgive. Now, I can lead a prayer. And if you should want to become a follower of Jesus, you can pray this prayer and you can become a follower right now. You don't have to do religious stuff. You don't have to work at it. You just have to receive this fact. When he died on the cross, he died to pay for all of our sin. And we can ask him to forgive us and he will give us a new start. So I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you want to be included, you pray this in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died in my place. Thank you when you died on that cross, you paid for my sin. I ask you, Lord Jesus, now that you would forgive me. I make a choice today, Lord Jesus. I want you in charge of my life from now on. I give my life over to you. You're in charge. I want to tell you, if you pray that prayer, it's the beginning of a brand new start. I just pray this for you. Heavenly Father, would you just pour out your spirit on anybody who's prayed that prayer? Now, maybe some of the mistakes that were made, you've been able to identify some in your life, and God's pointed out something that's not right. You can be forgiven right now. If you choose right now to put it behind you and to go his way, you just pray this. Heavenly Father, I come to you and I ask you, because of what Jesus did, that you forgive me. I choose today to stop doing what is wrong that makes you sad. I tell you, I'm going to follow you from now on. In Jesus' name, amen.